Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. First off, I want to say I'm like really excited to have you. I absolutely love all of your stuff. And you are so, I think what you said, okay, well, hello audience. Welcome to another episode of Thrive Like a Parent podcast. I usually say that first, but I just couldn't wait to tell you that part. But today, as I'm talking to someone, you have no idea who I'm talking to. I have Derek Cahill here and he is like thebomb.com. And we fill out, or not we, I have my guests fill out a one sheet thing that's like just questioning like what they want to talk about or all the different things. What's their bio? This was Derek's bio. Derek is a stand-up comedian and social media content creator focusing on authentic and relatable parenting stories, period, the end. That was it. I fucking love that because I was literally about to say like, your stuff is so authentic and it's so authentically funny and it's so humorous. And I love that you like get on there and you're just like, fuck you, other parents. Yeah, like, no. I don't give a shit if you're talking about me. Period. Like, I could give two shits. Like, it is so refreshing and it's so great. And I think that people are so drawn to authenticity within social media because it's something that they want, it's something that they crave, and it's something that they admire, even if it's bold and honest and at times even uncomfortable. And people can hide behind their computers and like type and you know, say all the little comments and you're like, oh, but guess what? I'm going to call you out. So without further ado, Derek, I would love you to say hello to everyone and introduce yourself and tell them a little bit more about you besides the fact that you're a stand-up comedian and funny social content creator.
Yeah, no, dude, for sure. I appreciate it. I don't know how I could top your introduction of me, but I'll go a smidge deeper. I mean, I guess other than being a stand-up comedian and a content creator, I'm obviously a dad to three kids, and I have a beautiful bride named Brooklyn, who without them, none of this shit would even matter in the first place. Because, I mean, that's really what, you know, my whole life, I used to chase, like, success, and to me, that used to mean money. Mm-hmm. Now I'm chasing like purpose and just that like good feeling of the shit that I do, but it all comes down, like, I don't think I'd have anything to chase if I didn't have like my wife and kids. So it's funny cause I talk shit about children on the internet. But oh my God, I fucking love my kids so much. I would like stop a train for them. You talked about like, you know, I get on and I just say whatever the fuck that I want to say. And even that, man, has been such a journey. It's not like I was born like that or like I used to be super shy. Mm-hmm. I used to be very like underspoken in certain settings, like especially work settings. So in like my previous life when I had a regular job and I wasn't doing this shit, fucking making money by making videos and doing stand-up comedy, I was always like, I didn't want to rock the boat. You know, like my boss would say something and I'd just kind of go with it, even if it was wrong. Cause I was like, oh, I just want to be successful. I just want to be this and that. And, my wife wrote these strips of paper and taped them up all over the house a couple of years ago. Cause my mission became, I want to be more irrational. I was super rational with very middle of the road with everything, like whether it's politics or whatever. It's like, if you get me a Republican that I'm talking to, I'm like, oh, I can see some of those points and or a Democrat or whatever it is. Like I can always kind of find center. But I realized just how little that served me, you know, and not in the sense of gaining anything, but just like my mental output, nothing served me. And I looked at people. And these good, bad, or indifferent examples, but I looked at people like Conor McGregor, the UFC fighter, or dare I say the name Donald Trump, And the way that they fucking carried themselves was like, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. I'm the shit. I'm the man. I'm the best fucking. And I was like, that's crazy. So I didn't set out to become them, but I used that as like a little bit of a beacon of, Derek, why would you hold back when there are absolute when there are people like that that are crazy that talk about themselves? So for me, this whole movement that I'm doing on the internet and just kind of like the way I carry myself is this pursuit of me, like finding, first of all, being happy with me. And second of all, only being surrounded by people that accept me. I say fuck, bitch, you know, I talk shit about everything. And if you like it, dope, stick around. If you don't, fucking skedat, dude, I don't care. So that's me.
Yep. And I very, very much appreciate that explanation and a little bit of the backstory, because in preparation to like decide where I wanted to go with this and talking with you, because I could literally just be like, I want him on the podcast so like he can make me laugh and we can just have fun stories and like everyone can enjoy laughing on this podcast. But I wanted to learn a little bit about you beforehand. And I landed on a podcast that you did like in 2020 where you literally talked about all of your life prior to, and you talked like prior to now, basically, of like how you've gotten to where you've gotten. And it sounds like you have a very colorful background in terms of your upbringing. And I think that it's so important for individuals to hear that message of what you're saying. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of men need to hear that. And I don't know if you can pinpoint like what was the thing, besides all the stuff on the wall that your wife did and you seeing other, I don't want to call them outlandish, but others who honestly people would say, oh, that's that they're totally narcissistic. Like people who are just like, fuck you, I am who I am and like take it or leave it, right? But you looked to others, and I think that's what people do probably with you on the internet, is like they look up to that ability to just simply attempt, right, to be yourself or have that journey of being yourself and to be able to release, you know, I talk about the shoulds versus the musts a lot, but like releasing the shoulds of like, I should stay in my lane. I should be or climb the corporate ladder, or I should, you know, have the 9 to 5. I should make X amount a year to be even, we can go there like as a dad, like that is the patriarchal view of society of like the dad is the provider and the dad should like how was that journey or what was that journey like for you in terms of how you explained it as like chasing your purpose? Like how has that journey evolved over time for you?
So there's this book that I read along this kind of like self-discovery journey called The Second Mountain. And I didn't finish it because at the end it gets a little like religious-y and I don't gravitate towards that. But the core tenet of the book was life has two mountains in it. The first mountain is this pursuit of wealth and tangible things and status symbols. So the car, the house, the job, etc. And the second mountain is when you realize that all of that shit doesn't matter. It's the pursuit of passion and purpose and things that fill you up. Like it gives me goosebumps even talking about it because I feel so fortunate that I don't think a lot of people get to the second mountain. Right? Because, you know, what's the number that everyone has in mind for earning? It's always six figures. That's the dream when you're 18, 19, 20, whatever it is. A lot of people never get there. So their journey never transcends money. It's always chasing money. And fortunately, whether you want to pinpoint the way I was raised or getting like life lucky and making some good decisions, you know, I was making that money when I was like 26. I got a phenomenal job in corporate America, grew for the next 5 years, became a VP of sales. I was fucking everything I ever wanted. I had a brand new truck, a beautiful house, bank account, everything. And I had my one and only ever panic attack. Like I couldn't fucking breathe. And that was kind of like the end of that life for me. When I realized I'm sitting here, I have everything I ever wanted and I still feel absolutely fucking meaningless. So luckily, I've always been I've always had this pursuit of like building businesses and side hustles. So about a year before this panic attack, I had started my chocolate company as just an outlet. Like, let's get back to being creative. Let's get back to building. So when I had that moment, it's funny. I had this opportunity when I was quitting that corporate job. I got within the same company. They offered me a different job for more money. And I was like, nah, go fuck yourself. And I left. And I went and did some consulting work for a little bit. But I think it's a lot of it, what it boils down to is just having the courage to believe in yourself, right? Like your brain, I think normal humans' brains, we've evolved to worst case scenario plan. If I do this, then obviously I'm going to go be homeless, right? Like I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to be homeless. And I also, one of the strengths that someone pointed out to me is I don't always see just what I want. I know very specifically what I don't want. Because of the way I was raised, I got to see what addiction looks like. I got to see what poverty was. I got to see what like poor relationships look like. So I know what I don't want. And I'm able to kind of navigate life using kind of two barometers for what I want life to look like. But it comes down to just having like the bravery and courage to take the risk. Because that's, I mean, if I look back at the last 10 years of my life, like that categorizes me. I take huge fucking risks, and sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't, but I don't aim small. I aim big in retrospect, right? Like all these little micro risks that I took have all just been little steps on this grand journey of being where I am right now. And there's a quote from Steve Jobs. You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you can never make a decision thinking that that's going to start connecting all the next dots. You've got to like take stock for where you are and decide, am I happy with where I am? And that's where you start. Like if you're not happy, it means you got to make some serious fucking changes in the life that you're living before you can even start to build the right dot. So yeah, man, I don't know. It's just, that's it. You know, like it's been a really long journey. I'm still on it, but it's mixtures of my self-worth. What am I worth? What am I willing to stand for? And who am I willing to surround myself with? And it's a complex, but also really simple formula that puts me, you know, where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. It's really true. It's complex, but simple, like at the same time, because as much as you're saying, what drives me is what I heard for you is like, am I happy or am I not? And do I have the guts and the bravery, right? Because, and if you boil it down to those two things, they sound simple, but what comes after that is sure, I've got the bravery, but there's so much fear of like, can I keep the lights on if I leave my corporate job or will this work? And it does require you to build that self-confidence and self-worth within yourself of like the imposter syndrome or this or that, that it's like, no, I can do this. And I would say even for me, as I started I transitioned from a clinic that I owned into social media business and running my business through marketing on social media. And like, it's hard to stare at yourself in the face and like record yourself in the beginning and be like, oh shit. Like, is that what I look like? Oh, I said a lot of things like ums and likes and but then you get used to it and it becomes second nature. And the process of it becoming second nature, the process of being you and putting yourself out there is it requires to look fear in the face and be like, yeah, nope, like, not today. Like, I'm cool. Like, I got this.
It's also, I think, intent a little bit as well. I get a lot of people that will reach out to me or, like, even friends that their first, like, mission is making money. And, well, of course, okay, we all need to make money. It's, I'm not fucking, you know, investing, you know, I'm not doing, like, a nonprofit over here. Like, I got bills to pay. But when I got started doing social media, one of the first things that I had to come to terms with eventually was, what am I doing this for? Am I doing this for attention, or am I doing this because I can't fucking live without doing it? And it was the latter. I cannot fucking live in a world where I'm not being creative, where I'm not talking shit about something or making fun of something, and not in a bad way, just like that's who I am. Like, I need to be creative. for over a year, probably for 2 years, 3 years, I didn't make fucking any money on social media. $0. And I showed up every single fucking day doing whatever I wanted to do. And I had this really amazing moment where it's the first video that ever went viral for me. It had nothing to do with kids, nothing. I was returning a car to Enterprise. And I just recorded myself doing it because no one was answering the phone. And who I am, I was like, oh, this would be fucking hilarious. It wasn't even the thought of posting it. Because by then, like, I was getting, you know, your normal early on, your post, like 500 views. Like, nothing was fucking popping off. But I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to record this because I think it's hilarious. I'm going to do it whether or not it's recording. I answer the phone, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I posted to TikTok. And it went against everything that creators were telling you not to do. Like, it was like a 59 second long video. And at that time, TikTok do 10 second videos. But I posted it on TikTok alone. It got like 30 million views. Instagram was a shitload of views. I was on radio stations, not me, but like they were playing the clip on radio stations. And I got this first taste of attention on the internet, right? And it's like at the core of what I do as like an entertainer, performer, whatever you want to call me, of course, the downwind of what I do is like, yeah, hopefully one day people pay attention to me. Like, I love making people laugh. Hopefully people show up. So I'm sitting here looking at fucking 25 million views. I went from like 4,000 followers to 100,000 followers in a week. And yeah. I sunk into this like little micro depression because it's like, how do I keep this? How do I keep this? And I think you see it. I think you see it a lot with content creators that find attention and then that becomes their entire shtick on social media over and over and over and over and over again. But
hit a dopamine.
Yeah, you know, but fortunately, again, dude, like it's such like divine timing that I keep seeing in my life of how things have worked because I had enough experience in my life of the shit that I wouldn't do anymore, what I wasn't willing to negotiate for myself anymore. And I looked at these videos for the Enterprise thing and I made a very conscious decision. Fuck these people. I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not, I'm like 30 years old at the time. I'm like, I'm not going to go answer fucking phones at stores. Like, I have a family, bitch. Like, that's not, this is not the creativity that I yearn for. This was a dumb moment. I happened to be right place, right time. I answered the phone. That's not the content that I aspire to create. And I had to stare attention in the face and tell it to go fuck itself. And I kept doing what I wanted to do. And the rationale in my head was, you know what? If these people fucking like me, they'll stick around. If they don't, they would have fucking left eventually anyways. So I just got back at it. And it's coming face to face again with like, you get this video, 25 million views. And then the next one you post is 1,000 views. And then the next one you post is 1,000 views. But it all comes back to the beginning. What do you do it for? Are you doing it for the views and money? Or are you doing it because you can't fucking live without it? And to this
day,
I do it because I can't fucking live without it. And that's the biggest difference with people that come to me. They want to talk about money and algorithm and views. And I feel so bougie when I give them the answer, but I always give them the same answer. It's like, bitch, I have never cared about the algorithm. Does it piss me off sometimes? Sure. But I am never in my fucking life going to follow algorithm advice. Like, oh, use these three. I've never used a hashtag in my fucking life on any of my posts ever. I don't post how much time you think a video should do. I get on, I make a video that I think is funny and I fucking click post. That's my recommendation. But it goes back to the same thing. You've got to love it so much that the time doesn't matter. Are you willing to post onto social media for 2 fucking years for nothing? And if you're not, fucking find something else, dude. This isn't your shit. Find something else that lights your soul on fire.
Yeah. And I do think it is the creativity. Like for me, I was a dancer growing up. I've danced since I was 2 years old.
I can tell. You look like a dancer.
Oh, well, thank you. I literally started by doing videos that I was like, literally, like I recorded one earlier where I was like, I haven't danced on the counter in a really long time. So I like did one where I was dancing on the counter and I was like, oh, that felt really good. Like I haven't done that in a really long time. And for me, I like craved as a little girl being on stage, and people used to go up to my mom and be like, is that your daughter? And they like didn't know me. They'd be like, I was watching your daughter the entire time, like in the back row because of her smile. And it's something that I like crave and needed in my life. Like I needed an expression, a way to have that self-expression, or it's almost like performing for me is my way of creating. And it's a way for me to get out my creative side of my life. And the journey was so personal for me, and it was such a beautiful outlet. And you're totally right. Like you can't worry about the algorithm. You have to just simply be yourself. And that's what'll draw in the most authentic community too, is like, they are making a choice to follow you because they like you and they enjoy you. And it's not because you're like, well, let me tell you how you're going to make money. This sound is about to go viral. Like who gives a shit? You know?
I've blessed myself with being able to do this, and it never feels like work. There's nothing to keep up. I don't fucking pre-plan content. If I've actually gotten to the point now where it's like I'm telling you, dude, for like 2 straight years, I never missed a day. I never missed a fucking day. I'm to the point now where I give myself a little bit of grace. Like if I'm in a slump or whatever, I'm just feeling not creative, I will give myself a day off from posting. But yeah, man, it's just fucking doing this, the shit that lights your absolute soul on fire. And it's funny. You talked about like the journey of like where I started, where I am. I quit comedy at one point, like full-fledged, stopped being creative, to go do corporate America. I closed up one of my little side hustles that I started. I stopped doing comedy. I stopped doing a podcast I was doing. I wasn't posting anything. I wasn't writing. And I think that's what led to this like breakdown that I had because I think it's like such a life stop sign that says you've chased the wrong thing. And one thing that I've always been very fucking good at, and it's, you know, it hasn't made for the easiest life sometimes, is I've always listened to myself, like that inner feeling. Like when I feel like something is off, like someone's fucking me over, or I'm not being whatever, I've never been able to continue. There's something in me that just quits it. It's like, absolutely not. I'm done. I'd rather fucking struggle and figure it out than spend another day here. And that's effectively what happened at that job that I had, is I reached that stop sign. And it's crazy that for 4 years, I gave up the thing that was like such a gift to have, this ability to kind of like find the humor in things and extract it. And for something I quit, I'm on a fucking national comedy tour now. And I have, a million followers that follow me for my fucking stupid videos. And it's like, I was talking to my wife last night at dinner because she's in her journey of like, what is my meaning?
Yeah.
And I had to tell her, I was like, if you take anything from the journey that you've witnessed over the last 10 years of being with me, I think that you have to just know by now, the universe will give you what you're meant to do. Like it will usher you along your path. But the key thing is like, you just have to be patient. We live in a world where it's like, we want everything right now. Like still, like I kind of want everything right now, but I really come back to that quote often, that the connecting the dots quote. And I think it helps settle me into like a really present moment with myself of like, I'm happy right now. I love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I love what I have. I love where I'm at. If it never went anywhere further, I'm having a phenomenal time as it is. And I just have to trust myself. Like I keep delivering and we'll just see what fucking happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really hard to listen into that voice. I think a lot of people push that voice down. They neglect that voice inside. They ignore that voice, or they tell that voice that they're wrong. And I have specifically found patterns with men because their brains are more black and white, a little bit more logic brain than emotion brained. I think that men are a lot better at that than women. we can spiral ourselves into, but this, but this, but that, but that. Like, we could literally go down a rabbit hole forever. And I think that men are really great about, okay, like, this is pretty black and white. Like, got it. I'm going to go this way or that way. And like, that's my choice. And a lot of men, it seems that they don't look back either. It's like, got it. Like, this was a choice and we're moving forward from that choice. Like, we're not going to dwell on the past. We're going to keep going and learn from it. And then what's the next thing that comes? And I think that in order to find that happiness in your life, in order to go after your purpose, and in order to be fulfilled within your life, not just building the bank account, or I think the best thing to say is, and the question to ask you is, you were a parent when you were in corporate America, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Were you happy as a parent when you were living that life versus the life you're living now as a parent, like as it relates to parenthood and being present and available and enjoying your family, you know?
I think that's a little bit of a loaded question, because how do I want to answer that? I guess to answer it clearly, I'm way happier now with myself, you know? But it's also one of those things where it's like, you don't know what you don't know. At the time,
yeah,
I felt like I was doing the best I can, you know? And, you know, sure. living by the pre-written rule of what it means to be a grown-up. You have your 9 to 5, you mm-hmm. come home, you have dinner with your family, you have your weekends, et cetera, et cetera. I was living by the fucking rule book. That said, yeah. I remember, I think one of the biggest blessings, which is going to be funny what I'm referring to, was COVID, because I started working from home. And prior to working yeah. from home, at this time, my daughter was 4, and she was like such a mama's girl, like not necessarily like not a daddy's girl, but loved her fucking mama. And I started working from home, and I noticed like within a couple weeks, every morning she was coming up and sitting on my lap, and we were like starting our day together, and our relationship mm. got so much closer with me working from home that I would never go back. Like, I would never go back to an office. Like, I have a 2-year-old son. I'm with him every goddamn day. Like, we, you know, I wake up with him in the morning. We, you know, I'm up here at my office sometimes. And that's actually one of the biggest things that is scaring me about this comedy tour, is I have to go out of town for a couple days every other weekend. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like that. I like being at home with my fucking kids all the time. So it's this constant kind of back and forth with, like, you know, making, you know, obviously, like, I have to provide for them. So, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. Shit needs to come in. So I can give it a few months and see how it makes me feel. But I think the biggest thing is the lens in which I changed the way I looked at life. What I realized is there's no amount of money that's enough. Like, if I remember when I first started working in corporate America, my salary was like 70 grand a year. And then the next year I got promoted, then it became 120. Then I got promoted again, it was 180. I got promoted again, it was 220. And each and every one of those progressions never felt like enough. It was, my mindset always went, what's next? Yeah. What's next? Give it to me. What do I go get next? Mm-hmm. So when I was able to abandon that way of thinking, my hierarchical needs changed. Like, it yeah. stopped. Money wasn't number one anymore. And for the longest time, it was number one, because I thought that was the way to care for my family. If I make enough money, everyone's cared for.
Yeah.
But now, no. My love
and I've done my job, right?
My love and my presence is that number one thing. Money just supports that. So seriously, dude, like, my whole fucking mindset yep. on money has shifted now, where it's like, you know, 4 years ago, I could never get enough of it. It's like, give me the fucking pot of money, dude. Like, give it all to me. And now I literally look like, what's the smallest amount of money I can make that enables me to live this life? Like, how little do I need? And it's so fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. But I truly is like, what's the littlest amount that I can bring in versus, and it's so subjective. There is a number. This is what I need to hit every month versus the other way. It was infinite. 5, 10, 15. It was this never ending hustle. And think about how much of my mind power went with that. Where am I going to get it next? How am I going to earn more money? And now it's just like, I get to chill. And I get like these, you know, now, and the thing here's, because it's such a blessing to be able to say that, right? Like, I have chocolate, I have social media, I have comedy, I wrote a book, you know, like I have all these little income streams that come into me that give me that low number now. But what people don't see or don't care to investigate is the fucking 10-year journey it took me to get to right here. And that's the biggest piece of advice that I could give people is like, if you want freedom, bitch, you better start right the fuck now, because you need to start taking the step. Time is going to go by with or without you investing in different areas of your life. There's never going to be a magic moment that everything fixes itself. Like, you've got to like almost go slum it out. Like, I'm not saying go quit your job. You know, the biggest misconception people have is like, in order to start a business, you got to quit a job. It's the biggest load of shit ever. And I can say that through experience. I've done it like twice and it never works. You're always under like ridiculous amounts of pressure. I started the chocolate company and I worked at corporate America for like a year and a half after I started it. And it like financed my chocolate company and it enabled it to like get its legs under it. But it's just about like that first decision to like tell everything around you to go fuck itself. And that has to be somewhere in those like those first early steps is like, I don't care what fucking grandma says to me, my auntie June, get the fuck out of here. You're not paying my bills. Like, you need to get out of my way.
I love that you talked about your book and your chocolate, because underneath your own bio that you wrote for yourself, I wrote also children's book author and Wicked Bold Chocolate, which I was like, shut the fuck up when I saw that on your link. And I was like, I love chocolate. Like, I was just eating chocolate. Like, how did I not know about this? And then it was like, find it near the nearest store. And so then I'm like Googling and I'm like, okay, it's 6.7 miles away. Got it. I'm going to Sprouts later on today because it looks so good. But you really have
self-promoter
dabbled in so many different things. And I love that you explained too that like it didn't happen overnight. Like, you told other people, like, you better start now. Like, this doesn't happen overnight, right? Like, you woke up one day and one of your reels went viral. And of course other ones have, but it wasn't like I decided I'm just going to start an account and like tomorrow I'm going to be the Kardashians. Like, great. Tomorrow, like that's what we're going to do. You know, like I'm going to make the Skims and I'm going to do all the things. Like, it doesn't happen like that. And it does take effort. But I think what I'm hearing from you too is that you did it in a way that was enjoyable for you. Like, you did it in a way that worked for you so that you could still be present and happy and enjoy your life with your family and still talk shit about everyone and do all the things that you really enjoy doing.
Yeah, dude. But isn't that the definition of like authenticity, right? Like, you can't fake being authentic. Yeah. So as much as it's, you know, it's one of the reasons that I don't, It's hard to give people advice because it's literally just like, I don't know, be your fucking self, you asshole. Like, just go find the things that you can do naturally. Because I couldn't duplicate this again, you know. Like, I mean, well, hold on, not that I could go start another little company or whatever, but it's built on the back of like the morals and like the ethos that I've built about myself that people now know about me. But it's just such this like organic process. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have told you 5 years ago that I'd be here today. I couldn't have told you a year ago. Dude, a fucking Brooke, 3.5 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, I told my wife I was quitting stand-up comedy. I was like, I'm going to focus on videos. I'm going to get into acting. Fuck stand-up comedy, because the grind is so much different, right? Like, I can go 2 years and make videos that do whatever the fuck they do, and I get to just shut my phone off and like go on my couch and sit next to my wife. Stand-up comedy, I did that grind when I was 20, 21, like going out to open mics and staying out till 1 in the morning getting stage time. you know, at 34 years old, I was like, all right, bitch, like, I don't like to stay up that late anymore. And like, I was driving to like Dallas and Fort Worth. And it's like, the juice is just not worth the squeeze here for me. So literally, dude, as if the universe was like, haha, fuck you. These two comedy clubs in Phoenix and San Diego, the same owner, were like, hey, Derek, we'd love to build an event around you. Are you interested in coming out and doing a couple of shows for us? And I was like, well, you son of a bitch. Because I love stand-up comedy. I love stand-up comedy. I was like, well, I'll do stand-up if I can, like, skip the shit that I had to do again. And yeah, dude, like, I said yes to those two clubs. And I started writing a show. And I was like, dude, the show is fucking dope. I should do more of these. I should do more of these shows. And this is just such a crazy testament to like how fucking insane I am. But I randomly, no process at all, I just picked 20 cities. And wow. I picked cities and dates, no secured venues. And I made a TikTok video. And I was like, guys, I'm going to do a comedy tour. Do you want to come to these shows? And I put a Google form. And I had like 2,000 responses on day one. And then I took those responses and then I started shopping clubs. I was like, hey, Boston, I have 200 people that want to come see me. Can I book a spot with you Saturday, fucking April 18th or whatever? And about halfway through this process, a comedy agent reached out to me because one of the clubs had been like, yo, there's this dude fucking self-booking a tour. You should get in touch with them. And now I have a comedy agent that is booking me shows across the country. Like, he called me yesterday. I got five more shows. And it's just so remarkable. Like, when you just like, how do I want to say this? It's like when you give up, surrender, bro. Yes. When you just fucking surrender to the moment, it's so amazing what opportunities present themselves. Like, I couldn't fucking believe it. That a few months prior, I was like, I'm done with this. And now I'm on a fucking 24 city comedy tour. And I'm they're sold out. I got my three shows all throughout March are 100% sold out. And it's like, this is fucking insane.
I think it's so hard for people to surrender, but I cannot agree with you more. I had to listen to my inner self to decide that I was done with my first business and release that. I had to listen to myself to be like, no, this is what I want to do next. And I got to tell you, like, my family was like, what the fuck are you doing? Dancing on your countertop? Like, what are you doing? Like, you look batshit crazy. And I was like,
Brooke, oh, you need to go see a Brooke.
I was like, I don't care. Like, I was like, I'm going to just trust, like, you need to trust the process because I'm trusting the process. And like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I don't need to explain it to you. I don't need you to understand. Yeah. Like, I know what I'm doing over here and this feels good to me. And if you trust your path and you surrender, it allows you to find like your deepest purpose and it allows you to be exactly where you were meant to be. It really, really does. But it requires a lot of trust, a lot of trusting rewiring of yourself, you know?
Yeah. Grit. Like literally rewiring your brain. To come out of being addicted to money, like a fucking addicted to it. Mm-hmm. I had to start literally telling myself, like convincing myself that I live in abundance. I started saying that to myself, you know, because, you know, I gave up so much money, like so much guaranteed money that I had this, like the savings account that I was accustomed to. And that's fucking gone. That was gone for a long dude. For the last year and a half, I've exclusively worked for me.
Yeah.
And that's come with high months. It's come with low months.
Yeah.
Everything has worked out every single month for a year and a half. I've pulled it off. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a cool process to go through to just really surrender and trust myself and be like, I would repeat, we're living in abundance. We're living in a, like we just went and took a trip to Denver, like a vacation. mm-hmm. fucking very expensive. But I was like, you know what, bitch, I live in abundance. I'll get that shit back. And it's, you know, so it is. You just got to let yourself
you
go.
You have to, though.
To like, a point, will, you know, no one to hold them, no one to fold them. No one to hold them, no one to fold them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that might be the most difficult part about trying to be successful on the internet of all mm-hmm. places, especially like looking like, first of all, I didn't start making any money on social media until like middle of last year. Mm-hmm. So like, and I think, I don't know if I had hit I was at like 800,000 followers, maybe. I bet you people looked at me and they're like, yo, why he's balling out of control. It's like, no, motherfucker, I'm broke as shit. Like you're seeing my hustle. Like you're seeing like the good old days right now. I think a lot of people skip getting their house in order before they go try to build like how they're going to make their money, right? Like, you know, and there's so many variables. You're in a toxic relationship or you let your fucking family tell you what to do or blah, 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 blah. It's like, you gotta fix that shit first and then you have the opportunity to like go build. But it's like, you can't build a fucking house on quicksand. Like you gotta get some sort of foundation going first.
Absolutely. 1000%. Okay. I have like spitfire questions that I want to ask you.
Let's
go. Okay. They might not be fast questions, but I want your worst parenting moment. I'm totally putting you on the spot.
Oh shit.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, I have a general theme of worst parenting moment. And that is I fucking suck when it comes to responding emotionally, right? Like, you know, pick your poison of a certain, you know, daughter spills a glass of water, son fucking whatever, dude, like it sneaks a video game a little bit later. I am terrible.
I can totally see you responding like, what the fuck? Like what the
fuck? Oh yeah. You know, it's maybe octave my voice a little like, what are you doing? And it's like,
yeah.
My redeeming quality is that I'm very fucking good at apologizing, I just look at it through the lens of like, I guess I'm not fucking perfect. But yeah, I can overreact from like that gut emotional, and I wish, and maybe I'm just in my process, you know, I'm on the journey of healing that part of me, but I would love to get to the point where I can like take that breath before I open my fucking dumb mouth, because this dumb fucking mouth. And it's not even like, I don't even really cuss like never at the kids, but like I don't cuss at home. My wife would probably be like, you're a lying sack of shit. I'd say more bad words in general conversation than I would ever do out of anger. But it's just those moments of like raising your voice. And, you know, sometimes I think I undervalue the dad voice, you know, like especially to like, you know, my 7-year-old daughter, even like my 14-year-old son. It's like I can be intimidating and I don't ever mean to be it, but it's like that.
Yeah.
That fucking gut is just like, ah! And then I have to be like, I'm sorry, my bad.
But I think that's really great to say, because so many people that I work with are like, I'm a terrible parent, I'm this, I'm that, like, and they just rip themselves to shreds. And I really truly believe that as long as you care, your children will know you care.
Oh, yeah.
Like even if it comes out wrong or even if you say it wrong, like there's so many like scripted parenting things these days. It's like, when are you going to remember to be like, oh, well, I'm supposed to say this is what so-and-so told me to say. It's like, no, like your brain is going to spit out whatever comes out. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a shitty parent or that you don't know what you're doing or you don't have feelings for your child. It's just, sometimes things like that happen and we can of course circle back around and we let them know we care and all the different things. And I believe bottom line, as long as our kids know that we care about them, they will be just fine. Like they will be just fine. You know,
if we say
a few curse words every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. Raise your voice a little bit. You know, for me, I think I've diagnosed where that comes from for me a little bit, which is for fucking whatever reason, I align intent to what, like I prescribe the intent and it's always some fucking negative intent. Like, you know, my 2-year-old will fall and no one saw what happened. I'll be like, Ophelia, why, you know, I'll automatically, like, why did you XYZ? And she'll be like, I didn't. And it's those moments that I fucking regret the most. And they're always resolved within fucking 5 minutes. Like, cause I'll say it and I'll be like, oh, Derek, you're a fucking dickhead. And I'll bring myself back down to earth and I'll be like, you're right. I'm sorry. Tell me what happened. It's like, yeah. Boop, boop.
Yeah. It's just a little like check. It's just like a little, oh, okay. Got it. Like now I know where I need to be. Got it. Favorite. I got this because of all of your funny videos. I want to know your favorite home DIY project that you've done in your house. And then I want to know your least favorite.
So all of them are the fucking bane of my existence.
I just don't do them. I like just literally let my house like the lining around my garages for like the humidity coming in or the heat. It's like all cracked. I'm like, well, someone will get to that eventually, but it's not going to be me.
Yeah. I fucking, you know, I love working with my hands. Like I love getting, and I fucking love it. My dad was like a laborer dude. Like he was in the trades. He did heating and AC and shit and plumbing. And he was always working at the house. So I got to see that a lot, like my younger years of like him being a fucking DIY. So it's like, oh, fuck it. Maybe that's where it comes from. But I love getting my fucking hands dirty. That said, I'm just not good at a lot of shit. So it's usually a lot more frustrating. My least favorite DIY project, probably when I lived in my house in Florida, there was a storm that came through and flooded my master bedroom. And I decided I'll fucking redo my entire goddamn master bathroom and bedroom. And I did it. I mean, I put it back together. I did it. But it was so fucking janky, dude. Like, I did texture on all the walls. And one thing when you're doing texture on the walls is you're supposed to take what's called a knockdown tool that kind of like scrapes it all down and makes it like that nice texture. I never knocked it down. So what I effectively did was make a room with fucking razor blades all over the wall. They were all just super fucking pointy pieces of plaster. And I paid for it because I sleepwalk. And I was having a sleepwalking episode, get up and fucking sprinted into this fucking wall of needles and just completely scratched half my face. So for like 2 weeks, I just looked like I'd been in a fucking vicious cat attack. And my favorite DIY project, I built my fence at my house in Texas here. And I just fucking knocked that out of the park for the most part. Like, you know, it's falling down a little bit
on that fence.
I did because it's falling down in one point. So I had to DIY my DIY project. But it's fucking good, dude. I'm keeping it. Right now, I'm in the midst of another one. I'm digging a trench from my backyard to my front yard because we're the high point in our property. And whoever fucking invented and installed the gutters on our house, it just is washing out our retaining wall. So I have to like fucking migrate. But dude, here's the thing that it will always come down to for me. And I don't think this will ever change. I think you give me all the fucking money in the world. My tenant is like, I love working with my hands. So I will always want some hand in the project. But if I went and got someone to do this, what I have to do, it would probably be like $8,000. I'm going to do it myself for probably like $1,000. Yeah. And I will just never be able to pay someone 8 times what it cost me to do myself.
I wish I could do that. I am very good with like knowing how to do things, especially for me being a solo parent. And especially in the beginning of my solo parenting, I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to fucking do this. And I'll never forget it. During COVID, Charlie's chain came off the bike. And I was like, I'm going to do, like, this is easy. Like, I can figure this out. This is no joke. Like, this is absolutely, I was cursing. I was screaming at the bike. I at least worked on it for 45 minutes. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, how can I not figure this out? I go on YouTube, how to figure out how to put the chain back on the bike. This is not a joke. A 6-year-old on a YouTube video, a 30-second video was like, look, this is how you do it. And I was like, if a 6-year-old can do it in 30 seconds, why is it taking me 45 minutes? But I swear to you, I was like, okay, I am too angry at this bike to try it again today. But the next day I was like, all right, 10 minutes and I got it. And there's like such a sense of pride of like, you did that. Like, you built that desk and you know, we did so many DIYs during, especially during COVID, because we were home and there was like nothing else to do. So we built a garden and we did a little, you know, station for the kids to sit in, a sandbox, and like all these crazy things. But I love your videos. Everyone go watch his videos on the DIY stuff, because
they're hard to find.
It's fantastic. Okay, I want you to tell everyone where they can find you, including your chocolate. I know your book is on Amazon, and I know your link is now on your page for your chocolate, but just tell everyone where they can find you.
On social media, Instagram, I'm just my name, Derrick, D-E-R-I-C underscore Cahill, C-A-H-I-L-L, TikTok, BoldFam, B-O-L-D-F-A-M.
Okay. And how many shows do you have that are booked right now? There, you said some of them are sold out, but you have how many ahead of you?
I have, I think 24 shows coming up.
That's incredible. That's so crazy. Fun.
It's crazy.
That's so fun. Exciting. It's so nice to get from away from behind the camera, you know, like in front of other people rather than just like, you know, like it's hard sometimes when it's just like you're talking to the camera and you don't see the people who are part of your community. And this is like getting to see your community and actually see and be with other people, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool to cross the bridge from internet to real life because there is this like, you know, this weird like internet celebrity, you know, aspect. Mm. And I'm sure you're accustomed to it too, where it's like, you know, I'm not fucking... I make dumb videos on the internet that people relate to.
I know,
to,
I'm just right? a like, human. Like, I'm just a human.
You know, mm-hmm. And you know, there's a book, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it calls out this, like, weird digital age of fame. And it's like make-believe, you know? Like, and I think I fully respect that it could all shut off tomorrow. I love crossing the bridge to real life, because stand-up comedy is something that I love doing. And it's like, it's such an amazing opportunity to be able to go do, you know, for however long it lasts. I'm just fucking loving that I'm getting the chance to go do it. And to your point, like, get out from behind the camera.
Yes. Yes. It's so incredible to meet someone as refreshing as you. And I really do think so many aspire to love what they do and like live their life as they please and live it with purpose. And I think you've done such an awesome job of being able to express that it's not as hard as it seems. Yes, does it take effort? Yes, does it take work? But if you want something, you can always reverse engineer it and go after that path. And I love the abundance that, like, you just said so many good nuggets that everyone will take away from this. And I hope they put it to practice, because I know that so many people are, to be completely blunt, like, so many are so miserable doing what they hate, you know? Yeah. And it's like, life is so short. It is just, you've got to enjoy what you're doing. And if you're not, I know it's scary as hell, but like, you can release it and surrender, like we talked about, and go after whatever it is, the thing that you want, and enjoy your life.
Yeah. And the last ad, you said effort and hard work, which it most assuredly takes. But fucking above all of that is time. Time. Yeah. You can't hard work yourself into the life that you want in a tiny time frame. Like, it's so much, it's so much fucking breaking yourself and failing and falling and putting band-aids on yourself and being able to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I survived. Like, go do some scary shit and just see that you'll be alive at the end of it, and do that 10 more times. You know, like, that's the biggest thing, dude, is like, be willing to fall down and be embarrassed and look like a fucking idiot and have people doubt you. That it's like, it's almost like the price of admission. You know, if I could say, it's like, you got to pay the price to live. And I hate that that exists. I fucking hate that that exists.
Yeah.
But you do, like, everyone wants to live whatever the fuck their life, you know, whatever their dream is. Everybody wants it. If you asked 100 fucking people, hey, do you want to live your dream life? 100 people are going to say yes. If you follow up with them in 6 months and ask them, what behaviors have you changed about yourself over the last 6 months? You're at fucking one person probably. And that's the hard pill to swallow, is that, and I'm sorry, I'll let you go after this, I promise. But
no, I love this.
If you're seeking purpose anywhere other than in your fucking soul, you're not going to get there. If you're looking external at anything, oh, if I could just get a promotion, if my boyfriend would just love me more, if I could just have my girlfriend not be an asshole, you're fucking losing. You're not even getting off the finish line. Until everything that you do in your life is your responsibility, you got fired, fuck you, that's your fault. Within reason, within reason, right?
Yeah.
You know, whatever, it's on you. It's this radical sense of ownership. That is step one. There is, you cannot get to step two without starting at step one, which is looking in the mirror and being like, this is your fault, you fucking asshole. Like, that's step one.
Totally. I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. It's, you have to take full blown responsibility for your own life. You have to take responsibility for your own feelings, your actions, even the dynamics you play within your friendships and relationships and your career, like all the things, you have to take responsibility. Otherwise you just look outward to blame everyone else. You know,
you're looking for the hand to pull you up or whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely. Derek, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And I really hope you come here. I would love to see you in person.
Where are you?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh, dude, I can't believe, I know.
And I actually was just in Dallas last week.
Oh, I don't know how far Houston is from you. I think that's a drive, but I'm Houston. Oh, well, fuck, it's sold out anyways.
It's not that bad. It's like 2-3 hours.
Yeah, it's sold out though, because like fucking, of course it is. I'm sure
that's
I'll do
amazing.
Austin. Austin's so local. I'm sure that I could get down and plan an Austin show soon enough.
You
but
have
dude,
to.
Thanks.
That'd be amazing.
Thanks for having me, dude. Thanks for reaching out and putting me on here. I love, dude. It's funny how funny I am on the internet, like, and how you know, like, this is the shit that lights my fucking soul on fire.
Oh,
is like talking about the journey and helping other people realize it's really not out of reach. It's just you gotta fucking start putting the Legos together, bro. You got the Legos, just gotta start stacking them.
Yeah, and I of course will bleep this out because everyone in my community already knows, but I don't know if you know my personal story, but my husband took his own life, and I believe it was because he was so unhappy with the life that he thought he, like the life that you were like, I had a panic attack and I'm done. He could not make that switch. And like, I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what we make. I don't care. Like, he was so focused on like that road of like what it should look like that he was drowning, just absolutely drowning in life and what it should look like. And I believe that your message is like so crucially important because I have clients, I have male clients who are literally like, I'm telling you, like one male client of mine, making $1 million a year, like can't get off the train and he is fucking miserable, but he's been making $1 million every single year, like for years, but he can't do it because it is so hard to make that switch. And for others to hear your story and to see that it is possible is going to give a lot of people like a kick in the ass and like motivation for them to be like, this is possible. I can do this. And it's wonderful to see someone who's happy and enjoying life and doesn't give two shits about money, doesn't give two shits about what they're making, but it just enjoys life.
I give one shit about money.
That's one shit. We'll give one shit. That's all we give is one shit.
Dude,
that's totally fine.
I'm telling you right now, I think that it would be a great recommendation, that book, The Second Mountain. I think it really well articulates that feeling of how to move past it. That could be an asset. Dude, I mean, that shit is so fucking sad, dude. I'm so sorry to hear that happened to your husband. Like, it got me a little emotion, like, hearing it, because it is, dude. It's like such a waste of, it's such a waste of fucking life to chase the shit that is all made up to begin with.
It's all imaginary.
It's all some fucking piece of shit asshole created the corporate ladder and said, if you don't get on this corporate ladder, you're a fucking worthless piece of shit.
You're worthless, right.
And yeah, dude, like so many people let that become their reality when it's, I remember I had this very fucking visceral moment in my life where I finally realized that the people that were giving me advice are the people that were giving me feedback, I would never go to them for advice ever. and it helped me just reframe these people that were making me feel like a piece of shit were actually people I never aspired to become in the first place. So it enabled me to like start backing out of myself and looking at myself a little bit higher and getting the fuck off the train and making my own train. I'm going to make more money this year, Brooke, working for me than I ever fucking would have imagined working for anyone else. And the money I'm making isn't at the cost of my fucking relationships or my mental health.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the money I'm making is, it's all just fuel. It's all fuel for me. There's no, nothing else. And it's fucking amazing, dude.
It's amazing.
And I feel not a religious way, but I feel so fucking blessed and fortunate to be here. But it started with my fucking brain, dude. Like that fucking mindset.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, like, that's literally what I teach clients, is like rewiring their brain, shifting their brain into this life, into a life where you're fulfilled and joyful and happy. Because, like, at the end of it, like, what is the point? Like, what's the point, you know, if you're not enjoying your life? And I really, really, really can't thank you enough for sharing this side of your journey and along the way being funny and comical and all the things. So I am such a huge fan, and I'm so thankful you did this.